B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Boston Bruins are going to collect their seventh consecutive win. This is a black and gold freight train. Icing is waved off. Johansson back of the net. The last time they won this many playoff games in a row, you have to go back to 1972. And the horn sounds. Tuukka Rask closes out the series with another shutout. The Boston Bruins are headed to the Stanley Cup Final for the third time this decade. They sweep the Carolina Hurricanes in four straight. And for the first time since 1990, the Boston Bruins will start the Stanley Cup Final in Boston.
And so our big picture Bruins thought today, our question was about the window of this team, this group, if you will, Don Sweeney. What's the window? And I think for this team, this incarnation, they better win it this year. I'll put it to you like that. I think they have largely the same team intact next year with largely the same sort of dynamic. And after that, it's a completely different team. I think their window is one more year with this group. All right? If they make some sort of transformative trade or some of their draft picks pop and they sort of evolve into something else starting in 2020-21, then fine. There's a new window. But this window, this team, this group, it's now. It's now and maybe next year. Maybe. Maybe. And I say one more year because just the ages and the contracts. Bergeron's 33. Krejci's 33. Rask is 32. Chara is 42 and looks like it. In terms of contracts, Krug's got one more year. Grizzlick's got one more year. You got to pay McAvoy and Carlo now. Even someone like a depth piece like Danton Heinen is up. You have to pay him. They'll carve up all of your salary cap space this year, and then you're getting into some questions starting in 2 years where DeBrusk has to get paid, and if another rookie pops, he has to get paid, etc., and on down the line. Look at it. This group, it's this year and next. And that's sort of the window, and don't take my word for it. Take Charlie Jacobs' word for it. He said this to us at the Winter Classic in Chicago. We played you the sound earlier. He's the one that said it, and I didn't even thought about it in these terms, but we were asking him at that time, January 1, about the trade deadline and this team, and he said we're all aware of the windows of our players. And he was talking about Bergeron and Chara and Krejci and these guys, and he said, we want to win another one in that window. And that's what he was talking about, and it's really now. And I think it really, really has to be this year. Because the seas have parted for you like Moses and the Red Sea. When, again, you look at the road that you've had, it's, I don't know if it's unprecedented, but it feels like it must be. Where, again, if you go by regular season record and you rank the playoff teams 1 to 16, you will have faced the 8th, in order, the 8th, 13th, 11th, and if St. Louis wins tonight, the 12th ranked teams in the league. You would not have had to play a top five team in the league based on regular season win percentage. You have not had to play a top seven team based on regular season win percentage. You would have played only one top 10 team. Only one top 10 team. Your last three rounds would have been the 13th team Columbus, the 11th team Carolina, and the Stanley Cup final against the 12th team St. Louis. That is not happening again.
I mean, if you look at the 16 as one whole bracket, like they had to face one team that just barely sneaked in there, and that was Toronto. That's it. Like in the top half of that, I mean.
Yes.
Like it, really unbelievable. It's unbelievable that you could get this deep into the playoffs and not face a high seed.
So at no point to get to your Stanley Cup would you have had to play your nemesis like Holpe and Ovechkin in Washington or Stamkos and the Tampa Bay Lightning or Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, Letang, and those guys in Pittsburgh, the three-time cup winners, you would never have had to face them. Never mind in out west where the top, let's see, one, well, San Jose, is San Jose the second seed there?
Aren't they like
out
six?
West? Well, they're six in the league. They were six in the league. Carolina, I'm sorry, Calgary had the best record in the west, and then San Jose and Nashville. So Never mind the best teams in the West. All the division winners in the West bounced. I mean, that is an incredible road. So I think the window's tight to begin with, and you're never going to be in a better spot. So it's now. You better win it now.
Yeah, and I think, again, like you talk about the window for this specific group, I'm telling you, I don't know when the next one's coming. Independent of this group, who are your replacements for Bergeron and Krejci? Where are the centers coming from in the organization? You don't have any.
It's daunting.
So do I think the Bruins are going to suck going forward? No. I mean, they get some good young defensemen, and not just McAvoy and Carlo. They have a couple of other kids that were drafted high. Vaakanainen was a first rounder. Lozon was a second rounder and flashed in the juniors a couple of years ago. So, like, you know, those are guys that have some promise. Like, I feel overall in the back end, they're in pretty good shape. Like, I think that they are going to have something close to a championship-caliber decor for the foreseeable future. The forward group, specifically at center, that's a problem. I don't know if they have anyone coming at all.
And you have, well, Krejci's up in 2 years. I mean, not that you'd resign him, but, you know, in 2 years, Krejci will be 35. Bergeron will be 35. Marchand, who's considered the younger of the group, is 31 right now. Again, what is exactly his shelf life? Again, Chara is 42 and finally looking like it. And so I just think in a couple of years, this thing's going to reset. Now, even next year, I think you're in an interesting sort of salary spot. You have $14 million in room for next year, $14 million. McAvoy's up and Carlo's up. McAvoy, if he really sticks to his guns and really pushes you, is going to be a $7, $8 million a year player. Half of it's to McAvoy. That's half. Then you still have Heinen, Carlo, Achari, and if you have designs on keeping Marcus Johansson, okay, you're not keeping Johansson.
I don't think they can afford Johansson.
Unless.
And they shouldn't have to afford Johansson with all the wingers they have.
Okay,
young
so
wingers.
It's like kids got to take that slot, salary-wise. You're going to buy out Backes probably, which will save you a couple million bucks. So maybe you have a couple million to play, but you're tight. You're tight to it next year. But I think you can generally bring back this team. And I think this is the team coming back for, you know, probably minus Johansson. I'd like to think, and Backes, who you don't want anyway. I think the rest of the group should be able to come back. You should be able to afford them all. But the question is, do you even want to? If someone came and offered you something real for David Krejci next year, would you take it?
Yes.
In fact, you could argue, like, if they were to win this thing, now's the time to move them.
By real, you mean picks, prospects, young, something
yeah,
like that. Yeah.
You know, a good return, not just a salary dump. If you had a legit return.
He probably had his best year in 5 years. This is the time to move him. I hate to be that sort of, you know, introduce that whole sort of discussion when they haven't even played the final yet. But if you were serious about the idea of moving him, and let's face it, they did go out and try to get Tavares last offseason, now's the time to do it.
I mean, we're just playing with this.
He's got 2 years left, and he's coming off his best year in 5 years.
We've got a week to fill on hockey, so... So now's as good a time as any. Krejci's 33. Marcus Johansson's 28. Who'd you rather have for the next 4 years?
Johansson.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm doing that. I'm just, you know, these are sort of things you got to start looking at.
Yeah, I mean, again, lower number and everything else, I'll take the younger guy.
And Johansson can play center. You know, he's not, but he can. He can play it. And the goalie's another one, too. I'll ask you this again. Let's say Tuukka Rask were up. Let's say Rask were up for a contract. You don't have to. I'm not asking you to extend him right now. I'm just saying he's up. Let's say he has 2 more years to go after this, 2 more years. But let's say he didn't. Let's say he was up this year as a free agent, 32 years old, on top of the world, best he's ever played, on the verge of leading you to a championship. And now his number goes up, and it would cost you 5 years times eight, call it. Five times eight. Would you do it?
No.
If it's I would if it's now. Because it's
so you're signing through his age 37 season.
I wouldn't do it.
I hate the years, but that's just what it's going to be. The market's going to dictate the value there. So and the terms. So yeah, I would if he was up now. But the way that it is, I'd rather see him play out these 2 years and then see it. We'll figure it out then. I wouldn't give him an extension now. But if he was up now, I would give him a deal.
I wouldn't.
How's our system? You know, there's varying opinions on that. The Athletic did a survey earlier in the year where they ranked all the systems in the NHL. The Bruins ranked 27th. And that was with Ryan Donato as their number one prospect. Now Donato's gone. So how good is their system? How good is this Jake Stanika, who's supposed to be, you know, a hot young center? How good is Vaakanainen, another good defense prospect? It's Jack Stanika, not Jake, whatever. Forsbacka Carlson, it was your fourth-ranked prospect going into the year. Now he's going back to Finland? What is this story you keep giving me?
Yeah, so this was announced today that he has returning to Sweden to sign a contract with a team in the Swedish Hockey League. He has indicated that he, quote, fully intends to rejoin the Bruins in the future.
When?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
The future is uncertain.
So he's a free agent right now. He's an NHL free agent, restricted free agent. So he's going to now go, I'm sorry, you said Sweden?
Sweden, yes.
He's going to go play in Sweden. And for, is that for like a year or two, for a full season? What does that mean
very vague.
What does that mean? Do they play in the summer?
I don't know.
And he'll be back for camp in September? It doesn't feel like it.
I wonder if there's even some sort of wink, wink, nod, nod there that you need some development, kid. Go get it somewhere else. That's what it feels like to me.
So that's one of the guys you're relying on. I'm just saying there's a transition coming.
So this is what I'm telling you, though. All these guys that were supposed to come up and make this impact. Bjork hasn't been able to stay on the ice. This kid's going back overseas. See you later. Trent Frederick, it's early, but didn't really show anything there. So DeBrusk has given him something. Senyshyn looks like a bust, but, you know, let's wait and see. I guess you got to give him more time. Zboril's a defenseman. I'm going back to that 15 draft now. But this forward, these forwards, this glut of wingers that they had. Donato's gone already.
And how many can play? We don't even know.
So I don't know that many of them can play. And they're all wingers. Where are the centers?
Okay, so there's that. And then there's one more thing. So a lot of these guys will be back next year, but are you telling me that Bergeron, Krejci, Marchand, Chara, Rask are all going to be healthy in the same year at the same time?
I doubt it.
I mean, they're healthy. Not 100%. No one's 100%. Chara misses the last game. I mean, I'm not telling you they're 100%, but for the most part, they're going to have their roster.
They've been available.
When the Stanley Cup Finals start a week from yesterday, they're only going to be missing Kevin Miller. That's it. They'll have the rest of their team.
Well, Wags.
Oh, Wags. Fine. I'll give you that too. 18 of the 20 guys that you would want in are in. By the NHL standards, that's healthy. Is that going to happen again? Meanwhile, all the good teams have been blown out? No. You got to win this one. It'll never be this good for you for a while, I don't think. I can't imagine. You got to win this one. So there's your Bruins reset. To your calls on all of it right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
When you play in this league for a long time, you start to appreciate and understand how hard it is to win and how few opportunities you get to really to win that cup. So, you know, we have an opportunity to play for it here this year, and you could just see how excited he was. And, you know, it was awesome to see.
There's Marchand. He knows. They go in 2013. They lose, but in 2013, hell, you thought this thing was all there in front of them. You were going to own this decade. You and the Blackhawks can go back and forth for a decade. Felt like. At that time, 2013, Bergeron's 27. Krejci's 27. Rask is 26. Sagan is 20 or whatever. I don't even know how old he was in 2013. 21, something like this. And had a really crappy playoffs, but 21 and a stud. You had just drafted Doug Hamilton in the first round. 19-year-old, you thought, stud. Like, this thing, we're set up for the next decade. It took you 6 years to get back here.
I mean, again, it could not have been set up for them any better. They had all these nucleus guys that were in the prime of their career. They had already won, and they had the replacements coming.
And it just shows you, though, you know, it does, even if you're set up, you don't get these opportunities. You're healthy, and all the good teams bowed out. Take advantage of it because they'll never get another chance like this. I'm not telling you they won't ever win again, but next time they go on one of these runs, they're going to face better teams.
I mean, the road was paved for them.
And holy mackerel. And maybe they won't be as healthy, you know, so take advantage of these opportunities when they come. Jeff in the car on the Bees. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, so real quick, I think it's funny that Russell gets credit for beating Wilt, but Steph doesn't get credit for beating LeBron. But anyways, nobody cares about basketball.
Good job, Jeff.
I'm curious. I'm curious to see what happens Thursday with this scrimmage. Are they going to put the Bergeron line against Tuca? Like, what happens if they light him up for five goals and he goes full Tuca and goes crazy heading into the finals?
Jeff, I'll tell you what. This scrimmage idea, the more I think of it, the less I like it.
I like it.
They got 11 freaking days. So I understand you want to do something. And when you go into those 11 days, have a scrimmage and stay fresh and like, yeah, do it. Now I started to think of some of the particulars. I mean, you heard the Cassidy cut that we've been playing. You know, they're going to have him to go full go, but no contact. So there'll be stick contact and little pushing, but you're not going to light anybody up. That's for sure.
It's not going to feel like a real game. And do the people have to be there? Like, I don't know. It all kind of seems a little contrived to me.
I like it. I do. I like it. I think it's, you know what? I mean, the layoff is the layoff. So, you know what? You got to take a relatively radical approach to it. Try something that hasn't been done. I don't remember this being done.
They have the big fella come down from the bar and sing the national anthem. They can do the whole thing.
Oh, right.
Oh, I like that idea.
That guy, by the way. What a tremendous choice they
make
made.
Him permanent.
Permanent?
I don't know. I mean, he's been doing these games, but I don't know if that's fully official.
Oh, he's so good.
He's so good.
He's so Boston. He's just...
It's just a trip. Then, like 10 minutes later, you see him slinging drinks up on level 9 or whatever. Level 6.
Is he from here? Is it Rhode Island or is it here?
I can't speak to that. I'm not too sure.
He just looks like Boston. It's like, that's perfect.
Fits.
They're blowing kisses on the way. Like, tremendous. Anyway, are they going to do all that crap?
You know what? I like the idea. Seriously.
Okay, but...
I would make it as real as possible.
But seriously, someone texted me that usually when they do these kind of things, for the fans, they'll have a shootout at the end. Do you want Rask involved in a shootout at the end of this thing?
No.
Maybe. Do you want Rask out there at all?
For maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Yes, of course. Yes, what are you afraid of?
I don't know.
Oh, God, quit being such a wuss bag. Like, they've got to do something. Yes, you know what? The more I think of it, yes, I do want him out there for the shootout.
So are you going to send a checking line out against Pastrnak? Are you going to really? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah.
You put Corrali up against the Bergeron line and check him for a night?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I mean, you can't hit him, right? But you want him fighting for the puck. Yeah. Puck battles. Yeah.
No, I don't know why it scares me now. I don't know why I don't like the idea. You know, pull a hammy trying to race Corrali into the corner?
So let me ask you a question. If they didn't do it in front of a crowd.
Oh, I don't care about the crowd. Crowd, no crowd. It makes no difference to me.
But they're going to do it in practice either way, aren't they?
Yeah, it's drills. Different.
It's not different. They would scrimmage in practice. The only thing they're doing different here is to open it up really to open up the arena to fans and try to make it as real as possible. That's what they're trying to do. If Belichick did this, you know what fans would be saying here in this town?
Don't look at me. We dump on
it. Okay, but I'm telling you, yeah, what a great idea. Bill's so smart. They're during the bye. He's creating a game for them. Nobody else would do that. He's wicked smart.
Yeah, that dude who sings the anthem is from Warwick, Rhode Island.
Okay, close enough. Yeah. Whatever. Close enough. He's just perfect. And good, too. Yeah, and just pay him to sing the anthem. Does he have to go up and sling drinks unless he wants to?
You make pretty good money doing that.
I'm sure. Anyway, Cam and Taunton on Brady and the OTAs. Your thoughts?
Mike, are you going to caterwaul now that they should strip him of his captaincy again?
Did I say that last year?
Yeah, you did. Because they announced the captains. You said the fact that Brady is a captain is an outrage and they've lost their soul.
Yeah, you know, Mike, what? You know what? I'm going to stick with that.
Oh, my God.
They have lost their soul.
I think the man has earned the right to work out the way he feels is best for him, don't you? After all the times he's been selfless to this team, I think he's earned the right to be a little selfish. And don't say I'm a Patriots toady. You know I'm not. You know I don't care. The Patriot way is Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, not some passing camps in the middle of the spring. What
you're
separates
so
them
wrong.
Is Brady and Belichick.
Oh, you're so
not
wrong.
Not the hard work.
Oh,
Mike, that's not true. That's what has separated them from the very beginning.
So if wait a minute. Hold on. Hard work is not a part of their story. Hard work's not a part of their story. Are you saying, do you believe that, Cam, that hard work's not a part of their success?
It's an overrated part of their story.
Oh,
it is not
God.
What has driven them to 6 championships, Mike. They have the greatest coach and quarterback of all time. That is what has driven them to 6 championships.
And how do you think they got there? Like, I mean, how did they get so good, Cam?
They're the greatest at what they do.
Because they were born that way? You believe in that?
Yes.
They came out of the womb as the best ever.
Yeah, Bill, certainly. Absolutely.
Oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that one bit.
Mike, Brady has not earned the right to do what he feels is best for himself.
It's not about him. It's about the team. Of course, this isn't golf or tennis, Cam. He's got teammates.
Okay, and you bring up the 13 points in the Super Bowl, Mike. Did you conveniently leave out the 37 in the AFC Championship game in Arrowhead Stadium? Mike, come on. Stop making a bigger deal this than it is. They'll be fine.
Bad defense.
Okay, yes, they'll be fine. I acknowledge they'll be fine. They weren't as good. They weren't as good offensively. Brady wasn't as good. The team wasn't as good. They had their most losses in 7 years. Okay? I mean, that happened. But does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. Is it right? No, it's not right. And hard work is not how they got there? Who believes that?
So, Cam, if you were to look inside that sixth trophy, you know what you would see? Nothing. No soul. Nothing. Soulless trophy. Soulless.
I mean, I don't believe there's any such thing as a natural.
Look, to me, I mean, there are some people who are natural.
No, I mean, you're born with certain gifts.
But Brady wasn't a natural. Oh, sorry.
Just what I mean by that is you don't get the best ever just on pure ability. That I categorically do not believe in. That Mickey Mantle was the greatest hitter ever because he was just natural. No, you've got to work your ass off to maximize your natural God-given gifts, and then you become the best ever. If you're just going on talent alone and no work, you're not the best ever. Cam, you're categorically wrong about that.
I told you the big thing for me, the part that I find inexcusable this year relative to last. They drafted a receiver in the first round. They have had massive turnover in their receiving core. Massive. Their tight ends are entirely new. They have all new players, and Brady's not going to show.
And you know what? I forgot that take, but I'll double down on it. He shouldn't be the captain. You shouldn't be captain if you don't show up in the offseason. That's not the captain. Captain's there from day one. That's why they're captains. They're leaders.
So then who then?
I don't care. It's just not that guy.
Stidham.
I mean, they've never done it that way. Was Brady even a captain last year?
Oh, I'm sure he was.
I can't remember.
I mean, if Brady weren't a captain, that'd be a huge story.
He shouldn't be. I like that take, Cam. Thank you for reminding me of that. No, the captains lead from day one. That's where they've always done it. But now, since they've sold their soul, that's just the way it is. But it's not going to matter. I'm not telling you that they're going to suck. They had their chance to do it last year, and the league can't catch up. So that's that. But he should be there. Here's an update from Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seabrook will play it up the boards and just out to center ice. Taves racing after a free puck against Krug. Krug will bat it away, but that's it. As time expires, and the Chicago Blackhawks are Stanley Cup champions in 2013.
Six years ago, thought you were all set up, even in a loss, tough loss, thought you were all set up. Turns out you weren't, so you got to take advantage of it when you get there. Also, that tells you, you lost to a really good team, the best team in the league. And I think the Blackhawks have been the best team in the league for, you know, that period of time. They've clearly cycled out now, but, you know, for that time, for that, whatever that was, 8-9 year stretch, I thought they were the class of the league. You lost to the class of the league. And in 2011, when you won it, you beat the best team in the league. This year, the best teams in the league have been nowhere near you. And so that's a huge gift that you need to take advantage of. Back to your calls on everything. As promised, Mary in Manchester, your thoughts on Brady.
Hi, Mike. I thought the reason Brady missed OTAs last year was because of the animosity he had with Belichick over the whole Guerrero incident.
Yeah.
So I'm really surprised that he didn't come to the OTAs this year, because I do think it's really important for the team, and especially since we drafted that new receiver. But I also know that he sometimes takes his receivers somewhere to Montana and you know, practices there. Do you think he might be doing that this year?
I hope, Mary. He didn't do it last year. They didn't have the boys' trip last year to Montana. He plays catch with Jules at Pine Manor. That's about the extent of it. And plays catch with the Butlers in the backyard. Like Warren Beatty and Heaven Can Wait. There's a modern day reference for you. Felger's Pop Culture.
I don't even know if I've heard of that.
1978? I don't know. That's my extent. That's my extent. Great movie. You should watch it. Warren Beatty. Heaven Can Wait.
78?
Well, I don't know what year it was. What year was it? Look it up.
1978.
Yeah, I got that right.
Holy crap.
That's the extent of my pop culture right there. He's getting ready for the season. He's put himself in another body, so he plays catch with the Butlers in back. That's Brady in the offseason now. I'm not allowed to say anything about it. Here's Mike in Woburn. Hi, Mikey.
Mikey, how many weeks are you planning on broadcasting from Parts Unknown this summer?
At least a day or two.
Okay. All right. I'm just, I remember the Mike Felger, the writer, Mike Felger, the multimedia, the Mike Felger that was everywhere in the Boston media. Things change a little when you get older, right?
So I'll come up with an answer for you in a second. Meaning I don't have one for you right now. Yeah, I don't have one for you right now.
Mike. Mike, unless you know something I don't, does he have a new co-host? Because Brady
sure
has a new receiver. That's what I'm telling you. Brady has a whole new receiving core.
Okay, Tony. Which one? I hate to do this to you, but which one's the more replaceable of the two?
At this stage, it might be the quarterback.
Listen,
I have your answers. You have to think about it. My best answer will come when I'm driving home tonight. So you want Brady to be me? You want Brady to be me? Is that what you want, Boston? Is that what you want, Mike? You want Brady to be me to take after me?
No, Mike, I'm just telling you. I'm putting it in an example that you can understand.
No.
As we get older,
our
priorities change.
You want him to be better than me, harder working than me, and to be a better version of me. You don't want him to be me. There's your answer. Next.
Okay, great. This is like the Montreal Cup run in 1993, I believe, when Montreal had the Nordiques in the first round, who were decent, but they were overrated, and then got freaking three chumps. They got the Islanders, who somehow beat the Penguins. They got Buffalo, who had McGillney break his ankle mid-series, and they had the Kings, who were Gretzky and a bunch of chumps. Well, I don't want to say a bunch of chumps because they had a couple good players. But how they got by the Dougie Gilmore Toronto Maple Leafs that year, Mike, you had Pittsburgh go out, Detroit go out. You had the Bruins go out to Buffalo. They had a path, like, paved in gold to the finals, and they still needed 11 overtime wins to do it. This is just like that team. And, Tony, you need help. If you can't see that Curry only had to get Durant because he needed to beat LeBron and then the officials, because they got absolutely – go watch the six fouls that Curry fouled out with in Game 6 of that finals when it was absolutely a bag job. And that's after they did the retroactive suspension on Draymond Green. They didn't even suspend Draymond Green in the game. They went back, looked at the film, and go like, oh, yeah, that's a flagrant. You're out for the next game. It was David Stern 101.
Mike, we're there for you. Tony, we're there for you.
Yeah, I was just going to say to Mike, I lost respect for his opinion 4 minutes ago. So, you know, again, I anything on Steph Curry I can't take to be remotely objective.
More on Curry, Sam in the car. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, guys, great show. Tony, I love you. I have to pile up on you, too. The Steph Curry and Irving comparison that you're talking about, I mean, I know we've rehashed, or you guys have hashed this out. I mean, you have these kids go to Game 7 of the conference finals last year. The self-proclaimed basketball genius shows up this year, and he goes and wins one game. Only one game in round two, and he is out. And you have Steph Curry that is now going to his fifth consecutive NBA finals, and you still have to think about that. And the only thing I could say to that is to steal a few of your words, which is, that is beyond dumb. Love you guys.
Okay. That's why we're doing the intervention.
So again,
today,
Sam. Sam, this is a Steph Curry discussion. I don't know what Kyrie has to do with it.
You keep bringing them up.
Well, my only point was that when they won the championship, Cleveland was without its second best player. If it was someone other than Kyrie, I would say that. It's got nothing to do with a comparison to Kyrie. Curry's better than Kyrie. I've never argued that point. I just said that the gap isn't as big as everyone thinks. That's all I've ever said. And
I tend to think it's a chasm. I think like most people.
I don't. Not a chasm.
Well, I mean, so here's where the chasm is. I'd much rather have Curry than Irving. Much rather. Is he much better? I don't care. I know that Curry's not going to destroy my team. He's going to work with the players that are around him, and if there's little problems, they won't become mountains. They'll remain molehills, and they'll be able to win on the floor when it matters most. So I would much rather have Curry than Kyrie Irving.
All I'm telling you is they went head-to-head in one finals, and Irving torched them. Okay? So again, I'd still take Curry over Irving. I would still, but the only championship that Steph Curry won without Kevin Durant, Cleveland lost its second best player in the beginning of the series.
And two of Bird's championships were against the Rockets, so I'm taking those away too.
Okay.
Mike in Somerset, waiting patiently on the Patriots. Thanks for hanging on, Mike. What do you got?
Be that way.
Hey, I just got a question. You know, would you take the security blanket? Would you rather have with the salary cap the way it is now? You get Tom Brady a security blanket with Kyle Rudolph, or you, we know that defense wins games, or do you go after
Gerald McCoy. Mike, this is a great question. I'll drop you and we'll answer it off the air. You being off the air. Would you, you can only have one. Kyle Rudolph, the tight end, or Gerald McCoy, the defensive lineman?
Oh, Gerald McCoy.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Isn't it?
I just think they're so weak at tight end.
Rudolph's not worth the money he's making. It's like $7 million in Minnesota.
Okay, so again,
you're pretty good on defense right now. You're not so hot in the receiving corps.
I would take Rudolph. I think there's a bigger need there. I would, and I don't love the money either. But I, you know, I'm trying to leave that part out of it. Like he said, you can only take one. So for that argument, let's say the money's the same.
I mean, McCoy. I've lusted after Gerald McCoy forever. Oh, when I saw him get cut yesterday, immediately I was like, please, please bring him to Foxborough. Please be willing to take a pay cut.
Well, then again, the first time Brady meets Rudolph will probably be like September 5th when Brady finally shows up. So what's the point?
Good point by you.
You know, run the ball and play defense, and Brady's not going to know any of his receivers by name. He doesn't show up. James in Dorchester. Yes, James, on the hockey.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Love the show. My question is, where would you guys put Bergeron on the Pantheon? Where would you rank Bergeron in the Pantheon of Boston Bruins? Could you put him second overall behind Bobby Orr?
Okay.
No!
He's not ahead of Bork.
Relax. It's a bi-week question, so we're going to entertain it. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I wouldn't put him ahead of Bork.
Go ahead. Give me your... I don't know why you're so incredulous about that.
Okay, so off the top of my head right away.
If Bergeron wins two rings, I know it's not Bork's fault, but I'm just saying, it's not that crazy.
Or Bork, Neely, all ahead of Bergeron. All three of them are ahead of Bergeron.
Yeah, Neely's ahead of them, too.
After that, I don't know, Espo? That's a tough one, too.
You guys overrate Neely.
No, we don't.
You do.
No, we don't.
And he was my favorite player. Like, believe me, I loved him as a player, like the rest of you.
Neely was a force. Again, I'll say the same thing I said the other day when we started talking about the 2011 Bruins versus the team in the late 80s, early 90s.
He didn't do it long enough.
Well, I'm not going to hold that against him.
Okay, but again.
But it's a factor.
He is arguably the greatest player ever at his position. Well, one of the top 3 to 5. Is Bergeron one of the top 5 centers of all time?
Well, so I got to go look and who's a center, who's a wing. No, I he's probably not.
No, definitely not.
No, I mean, he's not.
So I you look again, I love Bergeron, but Neely was like unstoppable when he was healthy and in his prime. Unstoppable.
I know, it's just that healthy and in his prime thing wasn't that long.
Okay, so if you're asking me who had
it's not his fault.
Who had a better career?
Bergeron.
I mean, he had a longer career. Was his peak ever what Neely's was?
No.
I mean, I go by the peak.
You do?
I do. And not just, you know, it's not like Neely played for 2 years.
I mean, we start down this road. Really? Just the peak? So, I have to love Derrick Rose?
In the NBA?
Yeah.
What, for his one MVP?
Well, I'm just talking about the peak. I mean, I'm just trying to give you an extreme example to prove your point.
But,
Neely's
run was longer than Derrick Rose's.
No, but I'm just saying, I took it to the extreme to sort of drive home it's just about the peak.
Yeah, so there are cases of lots of guys who had 1 year... or 2 years, and then got injured, and it's a tragedy. In Neely's case, he made the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no, I know.
I mean, it's not like his, you know, his...
A comp that you'll hate, that I love, and I'm glad he got in the Hall of Fame, is Terrell Davis in the NFL.
The running back?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Yep.
Yeah,
take that.
Neely was up there. I'm sorry.
Terrell Davis is a good one. He had 3 years, 4 years, something like that.
And Espo might be higher than... See, I would put Bergeron ahead of those guys. That's really short. But...
Bergeron's top five. How's that?
Sure. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Bergeron or Chara?
Bergeron.
Yeah, Bergeron.
Spent his whole career with the team.
Close. Maz also doesn't like Dirk Nowitzki. Doesn't think you can build around him to win a championship. Ben and Attaboy, your thoughts about that?
Mess. I mean, come on. I know only one championship where he's the best player, but he's one of the highest scoring players of all time. He's legit one of the.
Let me ask you this, Ben. Yeah. Since you're on Dirk, he went to one final. He went to two finals and won one. Who was the best player that he ever played with? We can't name it, right? Who was it? Jimmy?
Georgia Stojakovic.
So, right.
See, holy crap.
He never played with anybody. I mean, and I'm being...
It might be Jason Kidd.
I mean, I'm exaggerating that a little bit, but for the he never had a Pippen. He never had a Klay Thompson. He never had a Pearson Garnett. He never had any of that.
True.
He never had... Did he ever have a legit number two?
Mm.
No. And he went to two finals and won one. And you're going to say that you wouldn't want to build around that guy during an NBA team?
I told you, I think he's a number two.
Steve Nash?
Oh, were they together in Dallas?
But at the very, very, what was Nash at that very end?
Maybe like three, four, fifth year in the NBA?
So he was there, Nash was there before Phoenix? Am I all confused on Steve Nash?
Me too, I'd have to look that up. I don't remember that at all. Maybe he was
Nash
there.
Spent 6 years in Dallas.
I don't remember that. That must have been real early. Like, I don't remember. I was going to say, like, Jason Kidd, Jason Terry.
I still don't put those guys in the category of a Pippen, a D-Wade for LeBron, or a Kyrie Irving for LeBron. Those guys, Dirk never had a running mate.
He was a two. He was a number two. He wasn't a number one, Maz.
He's a number one.
His liability defensively wasn't a factor.
He beat the team that LeBron surgically put together.
Went to two finals and won a championship without any cast around him. This is just, we've accomplished nothing today, Murray.
No, it's just all been one big wasted effort. I understand these interventions can be very frustrating.
I could have told you not to try.
Well, again, it's always somebody else's fault in these interventions.
You're damn right. Yep, I can't help the fact that you two are stupid.
Beyond help. This guy, sad. Sad when you find someone who doesn't want to help himself. He gets all the love and support he could possibly ask for, and he doesn't want to help himself.
I don't need help. I'm right on this.
So many times, haven't we? Final word comes your way next.
Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Well, if you're just tuning in for most of the show today, Mike and I tried to have an intervention for our friend Tony.
It's gotten this bad. It was our first one. It was a take intervention.
Yes.
We feel Maz has hit rock bottom, that he has a problem.
Time for a take intervention.
Good luck.
You can't build around Steph Curry is what Maz said yesterday, and we wanted to talk to him about it today, and he wouldn't budge.
Nor Dirk now.
Yeah.
Add him
Dirk
to the
Kaminsky
list.
And hell, even Kevin Garnett wasn't a guy that you could build around. So here's a recap of all of that.
Well, hold on. It's a take intervention. Mike and Cranston, help us out. Go ahead.
Hey, Tony, do you know what the Warriors' record is when KD plays without Steph?
No, I don't. Tell me.
It's 28-18. What do you think their record is when Steph plays and KD doesn't?
I don't know, but you're going to tell me.
34-4.
Ooh. Bob and Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Curry is their first option at this point, and he's got them back to the finals again. And as Michael said, it's not for the first time without Kevin Durant. He doesn't need, apparently, he doesn't need him. They're going to probably win it again without him. And by the way,
what was that word you said? They're going to what? Win it without him?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah,
oh, probably.
Probably.
All right. So they haven't won it yet without him.
We'll see. Well, no. Michael,
that's right. We'll see.
Without him.
No, you got it right. We'll see.
Here's another enabler for Maz, Isaac in Providence. Go ahead, Isaac.
Kyrie, dog, Curry. The final five games of that series, Kyrie dominated Curry. Like, shout out to Maz for making that point, Maz. Thank you.
Thank you, Isaac. I did make the point just now. I appreciate the support.
You're enabling.
Just dropping off a bag of anti-Curry takes.
I mean,
to get you through again.
Good God,
you guys are delusional. Go back and look.
We're
at
on
that
the right
series.
Side of history on this.
I love that one too,
Maz. You know what momentum means in sports. You know that that changed when he got teed up and got thrown out of that game.
I also know what home court means in the NBA. They had games 5 and 7 at home, and they lost. They lost 3 in a row, and Kyrie was awesome in those last games. You know when the series changed? When Kyrie started to assert himself. When Kyrie became a second option for Cleveland, that's when the series changed. That's when it changed. People always miss that for some reason. They think it was Draymond Green. It was actually Kyrie.
You're not supposed to raise your voices at these things. You're not supposed to get angry. You're supposed to come from a place of love, and I'm losing it. Like, I'm starting to get angry again.
Well, then get angry. Go ahead, because I've been under attack all day, so I'm defending myself, Murray.
It's not attack, Matt. It's because we love.
Uh-huh.
We're here to support you.
Tough love. Coming from a good place.
But that's what you think when you haven't hit bottom yet, and you haven't acknowledged you having a problem. You think you're getting attacked when it's people trying to help you.
It's all our problems, not his.
No, I think that was good today. I think that was therapeutic.
That was effective.
Maz, what do you have come on the baseball reporters? I shudder to think.
So, interesting that you should say that, Mike. Red Sox played a day game yesterday, so they haven't played since our last show. I always like to use these opportunities to sort of take a bigger picture view, and I think the Red Sox have now reached what may be, in all honesty, the most critical stretch in their schedule this season. Or they're going to get to it later this week. You know, they'll tune up on Toronto here for a few days. But given that the important games are coming up, I thought now might be a good time to take stock.
Ah.
So I want to compare the Red Sox to another team in the division and see how it all adds up here in the early part of the year. We're more than a quarter of the way through the year now. So let's see where everybody stacks up. And also, we'll bring in Dan Roach later in the show and get some positivity on the program.
Okay, right. Bend over, Red Sox fans. Here comes Maz. We're back at tomorrow at 2. We'll drum up something for the program. Enjoy your evening. Blues Sharks tonight. We may have our Stanley Cup final set by the end of the night. We will see. No commercials, just an update. Then you get Maz. We'll talk tomorrow at 2.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.